Welcome to another episode of Living an Altar Life. My name is Mike. I'm your host. And this week I am joined by one of my fellow Swami crazies, Mr. Stephen Dentz. Stephen, you ready to go for a run?
Let's do it.
All right, man. You didn't get all ran out, right?
No, sir. Hopefully everybody can hear me. I have a little bit of a post chest thing going on from the great event we were at.
Yeah, it's probably because your lungs got, about half sand in it, and the sand has to filter out, don't you think?
That is true. The awesomeness of the event has to come out somehow.
That's right. That's right. Well, Stephen, let's start off. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you do when you're not out running wild and crazy distances, that kind of stuff, family, all that stuff.
Sure. I grew up in upstate New York, and I was a pretty active kid. I would do sports, but I wouldn't run. Run was punishment. And like everything else, you grow up and you're active in upstate New York. You do a lot of fishing. You do a lot of canoeing and just being outside all the time. And then as we progress and get older, we go to college, we get a job, we have a family. We stop taking care of ourselves and we kind of let ourselves go. And then it became evident that this has progressed very quickly. I had a hard time even walking up and down stairs without getting winded.
Wow.
So that is the short version of growing up. I currently live in Charlotte, North Carolina area with my beautiful bride. You have your forever girlfriend. I have my beautiful bride. I feel the same
Awesome.
way that you do. We've been married going on 11 years and
Cool.
we're a merged family. We both have two kids. So
Awesome. So we have all four together now?
I have one left that's a junior in college. Everybody else is out. We have older kids.
Okay, cool. Cool. So are they around you in the Charlotte area, or have they all moved on?
Yes. So we have our son is in Charlotte, and another son is in Rock Hill, South Carolina area. And my daughter is going to electrician school. And the other son, the youngest, is going to UNC Greensboro.
Oh, cool. Cool. That is
So
awesome.
everybody's close.
Okay. And so what do you do down in the Charlotte area?
I work in healthcare. I work in cardiology, which is kind of funny when you can't go up and down steps later on in life. So I had, at age 36, I had a heart attack. I weighed 249 pounds.
Wow.
I was the typical person of, I worked in a cardiac cath lab. You should eat right. You should exercise. And here's the person
none
in
of it.
your, correct. Here's a person in your procedure that can't even walk up and down a flight of stairs.
Wow. So how long ago was that, Stephen?
Oh, let's see. I got to do some math. That was probably be 16 years ago, I think.
Okay. Wow.
Roughly.
So
If my math
when
is
and
correct.
how did you start your let's get healthy journey?
So that's a funny story. So I worked with a cardiologist who's a friend, and he's like, you need to make lifestyle changes. You need to do this. And the first thing that came out of my mouth was, I'm going to run a marathon. And he laughed and he said, there is no way you will ever run a marathon. So like in life, we need people that love us and need people to tell us things that we might not want to hear. And that was that spurred it on. It took about 4 years after that to get really started. I started by my first race of any sort was a half marathon. And then a
Okay.
year later, I did my first full marathon at Myrtle
Wow.
Beach.
Okay. So, wow. Who was the other person I talked to that there might have been Emily Lyons, may have been Myrtle Beach was her first marathon, too.
Yeah,
Kind of
that's
seems to be a positive
interesting.
first one.
Right. It's interesting because the vast majority of the people do the half. So once the half splits, you almost feel like you're on a long run by yourself. Because
Really?
I think it's like 70-80% of the people that do that event do the half.
Oh, wow. So it's extremely rare to go on and do the full.
Well, it's just a lot less support and a lot less people cheering you on. There's people cheering on the half and it does a split and you just see the vast majority of the field go to the left and you keep going straight. So
Oh my goodness. That's got to be like, oh, what have I gotten myself into?
that's I should have taken a left turn kind of moment.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So now you've run a ton. I was looking at some of your ultra sign up stuff. You've run a lot of ultra marathons. When did that all start?
So in 2018, there's this fantastic running store in Albemarle called Vac and Dash, and it is a vacuum cleaner store. It is a print press, like for t-shirts, that kind of stuff, shipping, and also they have a bike shop. And there was this gentleman, Peter Shudo, was the owner at the time of the place, and he's a race director as well, and he would do very inexpensive half marathons and fun and crazy different kind of events. Some events you would an award, you'd have a number and your number was six, and he'd pull six. This is a Pop-Tart and you want a Pop-Tart. And you would run through his house and go down a Zoom flume or slip and slide kind of thing. So these events were always a lot of fun.
That sounds like a blast.
Oh, yeah. He's a great guy. And so he told me about this event called Henson Lake. I knew nothing about ultra, and he told me that these people will run and walk for 8, 12, 24 hours. And I thought, that can't be. There's no way anybody does that, because after my first marathon, I couldn't walk for like a week. It was quite pathetic. I finished Myrtle Beach, took a nap, and then, which is probably the worst thing to do because motion is lotion, after I finished, and then I just kept getting cramps, and going upstairs for like 3 or 4 days were horrible. But flash forward, I decided to go, and I just met the neatest people. The ultra community is just, it's like going to Woodstock and a family reunion all wrapped into one.
Yeah.
So that was my
first definition. I've not heard that definition before, but that is totally accurate.
Thank you. That was my first introduction into the ultra community. That event's held at the end of September every year. It's usually 2 weeks before one of your favorites, Cape Fear 24 Hour. I love that event as well. Lisa McFadden does a fantastic job.
She's amazing.
She is. So that was the introduction.
So did you do the 8, 12, or
24? For Henson Lake?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a 20. I'm sorry. That's a 24-hour event. So first time, I believe I got about 45 miles off the top of my
head. Awesome. Cool.
Yeah. So it was a neat experience. You camp right along the trail and just meeting different people and seeing legends of the sport walk by you, Ray Kay and other people that are just incredible human beings.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about Cape Fear is just the getting out there and rubbing shoulders with the legends and hearing their stories. And, you know, it's such a short loop that, you know, you can do a couple loops with the legends and get, you know, 10 stories and just be totally full of, it's awesome. So how big is the Henson Lakes loop?
That is, I think it's a 1.66 or 1.61. That one, you could get into what I call the AT bubbles. I've gone to that event before where people are like, I was there. I'm like, you were there? You go the same pace, or you go to the bathroom and you miss people, whereas Cape Fear is phenomenal because you get to see and run with everybody regardless if you're a 4-minute miler or if you're a 35-minute miler. You're going to be able to spend some time with those folks.
Yeah, Cape Fear is amazing, amazing, amazing place. But I keep hearing about these other 24s, and I'm like, starting to drift more towards that than like the distance races. Other than Swami, I'll probably continue to run Swami until my legs fall off, but yeah.
The time events, I think, are fantastic for people that are ultra curious. It takes the stress out of things as to, I don't know what to do. And when the wheels fall off, it gives you more time to fix it. So, for example, at Hinson Lake, you go out, maybe you run, walk for 3 hours, and then you go to a hotel and you take a nap for 6 hours, and then you come back and you do some more. So those are really good for people trying to see what it's like, or people that want to reach a certain distance. Those 48-hour events, like a country mile or one of those type of places, do the same thing as well.
So now you've done a couple really different type of races too. So I noticed you did the Berlin Wall.
That was incredible experience. So I'm a huge history buff. And one of the things several years ago, I heard about the Berlin Wall 100. And the neat thing about that is it goes all around where the Berlin Wall used to be.
Oh my
So
God.
there's still some sections of the wall that are up, but the vast majority, I expected it to be on road, but it was in the countryside. It was very challenging to run in certain areas because there's cobblestones, but you can't see them because the weeds are high. So you're running in the sand, then you start running in the weeds, then you're running into cobblestones, and my feet took probably the worst beating. But I'm not going to solely blame that on the Berlin 100, because 13 days before that, I decided to do 100 in Wisconsin. So the doing 200s close together was
Oh
not the
my God.
smartest thing I've ever done.
That's wild. And this was last year. So you did Badger Trail, which is not an easy one, and then followed 2 weeks later with Berlin Wall.
Yes, sir. With traveling to Europe, and then part of the draw was for my wife and I, Sheila, to go to Croatia after Berlin. So Berlin, we were there for 2 days, and then actually Thursday through Sunday, and then we flew to Croatia and spent several days there. So it was a nice family vacation and a race all wrapped into one.
That sounds
But
awesome. That was the one that I was looking at everything. I was like, because I'm like you, I'm a huge history buff, and I was like, that would be really cool. So are there places where the Berlin Wall is still standing that you could see, other than like
yes.
right in Berlin, the center?
Most of them are directly in Berlin, whether they're on the East Germany side or the West Germany. That's the interesting thing, because you're going in and out. Because you remember, from a history point of view, there was sections of the city was for the Americans, the French, the British, the Russians, and different things like that. Where we stayed at the hotel was the East Germany side. And a really neat thing that they give you even before the race starts, which to me was better than the medal — they give you a medal, they don't give you a buckle — is they give you a piece of the Berlin Wall, the
Oh, you
actual
are
wall.
kidding. Oh,
Now,
that's
I'll send
awesome.
you a screenshot of what it looks like. So that means more to me than the medal. The medal is actually about the size of a small 5K medal. So you would never know. But the neat thing about the medal is each year they dedicate it to one of the victims
Oh,
of the
wow.
wall. So on the year that I did it, there was a lady, and I'll butcher her name, that they found in the river, and there's a picture of her on the medal. So that's kind
Oh,
of neat
that's
too.
awesome. Wow.
And
That
then
would
when
really be cool.
you definitely want to put that on your list of events. And then when you finish, they give you a race shirt that says Berlin 100 finisher, a running
That's
shirt.
awesome. I like that a lot. Wow. I may have to look into that. See, that's the best part about, getting to do this podcast. I get to find these races and go, huh. Might have to do that someday.
And if I could offer anything, I would say, go take your forever wife, go do the event, and then go someplace that she would like to go. My wife is big. She wants to be in a tropical place. So we went to
Right.
Croatia. It was fantastic. So kind of utilize, you're going to be there anyway. Utilize it for things that your significant others and spouses would like to do as well.
Yeah. Well, her dream is to go to Germany. And when we were living in Kazakhstan, I keep telling her, I took you outside the Frankfurt airport. That counts as being in Germany. And she just insists it doesn't. So I don't know if I'll ever win
I
this
think you
argument
owe
or
her one.
not. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, you went into Frankfurt, right?
There. Yeah,
Yeah.
well, if you want her to be your forever girlfriend, you better fix that.
Yeah, well, maybe the Berlin Wall race is the way to fix that. You never know. Combine two
There you
things
go.
into one. So I may be looking into this. That would be awesome.
But the other thing I would recommend is spend more time there, because by the time you travel back and forth, you're spending multiple days. I felt like we really didn't have as much time as I would have liked there,
Right,
whether it was
right.
in Germany or Croatia. So factor in, a day or two for travel, and don't have that in your overall days, is
Perfect.
how I what I would recommend.
I like that recommendation. So now let's kind of pivot a little towards Swami because this was not your first Swami. You ran the first time in 2022, right?
That's correct. That's a little bit different then, because COVID was still kind of in play. So there was less places open.
Wow.
There were less opportunities. As there's very few spots in certain areas, but
Yeah.
in, I believe it was 2022, there was still a lot of places that were closed. So you had to factor in the day before, okay, where am I going to be? How many miles am I going to get today? And what available resources do I have? You really had to
Wow.
be ahead of the game.
Okay. So there was no just trying to kind of guess on your way down the coast. You had to know pretty precisely what you were doing.
You really did, because if you looked on your phone, it might say it was open, but it wasn't open at all.
Right.
So you, if something said it was open, you would be better served to have called to make sure it was open.
Okay.
A lot of the smaller hotels, the mom and pop places, they close a lot in the winter, as you know, but even a lot of those were closed. So that was different. I carried a lot more than I had. A friend that came down on the second to last day, my great friend David Solomon, and he crewed and ran the beach section with me on the
Wow.
way back. So
Wow.
that was nice. This year he was there from noon on Monday, so he was
Oh,
there even
wow.
longer.
Oh, that is awesome. So
So
the first year,
he
where did you
ran.
do, where were your sleep spots on in the first year?
First year, the sleep spots were the Hilton and Kitty Hawk, and then the KOA. I had a nice little cabin there. And then from the KOA to the lighthouse, a one trip, sorry, KOA to the Hatteras Lighthouse, back to the KOA. So I did two
Okay.
nights there. So I did what I call slack pack for that. I had just the bare essentials from the KOA the first year, what I was going to need for food for the way down and the way back, and water. As you know, there's a fantastic, what is it, muffins and scones that was open
Muffins and
then.
scones, lifesaver this year.
Every time I see somebody, I'm like, you got to go to Muffins and Scones. They're open. You won't be sorry. I believe I saw you in there
I think
this
you were
time.
I think you were leaving. I think you were on your way to the lighthouse and you were leaving, and I was on my way back from the lighthouse, and I had not had food in a very, very long time. And so I was the one who
You.
walked in and said, "I love all of you people. You are the best people in the world."
I saw you in the line. I said, "Hey, good job. Keep going." I think I ran into the bathroom. I think
I think you did. I
that's
think
what
you
I
did.
did to that.
Yep. But
So,
yeah.
but you looked very happy at the moment in time. I
Oh, I
can
was so excited,
verify
dude.
that. That place, if anybody ever goes to the Outer Banks, I highly recommend it. If you ever do this event, you factor in a stop there on the way down and on the way back. A
Yeah,
lot of
the food
times I
is
would get
marvelous.
two breakfast sandwiches and just stow one.
I am definitely doing that next time. So you
So
stopped
then on
there on the
the
first year to also then, right?
way, yeah, so then on the, I had a similar plan this year, and then I forgot, failed to mention, then on the way back from the KOA to the Hilton. So that was the first, that was in
Okay.
2022.
Okay, so you chopped them up into like 45 to 48 mile days then.
Correct.
Awesome.
The first time around, day three was an absolute, or was probably the worst running slash day of my life. I think I ran 2 miles and I
Wow.
walked the rest of it. And I went from, I don't know if I'm going to even get to the Hampton Inn in Corolla, much less finish this. I went
Wow.
from that to, on the last day, I set a PR for my 50 miler. So I don't know how
No
you
way.
day three feeling like death to the last day where you just, your body thinks, okay, this guy, this is what we do. This is all we do.
Wow.
So
That's awesome.
that was year one of Swami.
Okay. And so then you took a year break and you came back this year.
I did. I was doing, trying different things. The last year, I knew Berlin was going to be my A race. The first year of Swami, that was to get ready for last annual of All State, and I
Okay.
really sprained my ankle. I think it was 2 weeks before, and I knew going into last annual of All State that I wasn't going to get very far, but I did the best I could. I got to 107 miles, and that's all I could do. So it took a while to recover from that sprain. It would have been better if I broke it, my ankle. I think
Right.
it very, very large, and it took a long time to recover. So I didn't do much from July of the first year of Swami to February the following year.
Okay. Wow. That's a little bit of a long layoff.
There was a gap. If I was doing anything, it was, just trying to finish stuff, just see what I could do. So moving forward to this year, I knew my buddy David Solomon would be there. And by the way, he ran, I think it was 89 miles with me. So
Really?
he would drive his truck, his pickup truck ahead, and then run back to me. 5 miles, he'd meet me like 2.5, and then I'd
Right.
run with him 2.5 miles up to his truck. He'd flip down the cab, and then I'd grab something to eat, grab something to drink, and then go forward. And so he did a lot of miles. He's preparing
That's
for
awesome.
Blackbeard 100.
Oh, cool. Okay. Awesome. That's one of my favorite hundreds. So that's a near and dear one. I
He
think I'm
loves that
insane
one.
because I like
That
running that area and I don't know why.
yes, sir.
So are you going to go down? Are you going to go up and pace him or anything for Blackbeards?
I have another event at that same day, unfortunately. James is going to be at that one, a Laurinburg, a 24-hour event. So other than that, I would definitely be there. We do a lot of crazy runs together. We'll make up runs and just go. We'll be like, all right, let's go do this 45-mile run. It's
That's
99 degrees.
awesome.
What do you think? Let's do it. So,
That is awesome.
yes,
It's cool
sir.
that you have a friend that's willing to do these crazy things with you. Where did you meet David?
So it's funny because the first Henson Lake I met him, I'm like, this guy is Superman. And he doesn't remember our lengthy conversations. I can even tell him what we talked about and stuff. Maybe he was just trying to run to get away from me because I kept asking him questions. And I'm
Right.
like, shit, this guy, he's the real deal. Look at him. He's got tattoos from all these events that he does multiple years. He adds a star to this. I mean, this guy is like a rock star, and I just want to soak up as much knowledge as I can. So that's how I met David, was the first year at Henson Lake, and we've become inseparable. We're like brothers. We're there for each other when they need something. He could call in the middle of the night and say, I need you to get here, and I'd be there as soon as I could.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So tell us a little bit about Swami's this year.
Swami this year was so much fun. And everyone's like, what do you mean fun? To be able to do something like this where the cause means so much to me. Mental health is something that I don't think is discussed enough. And whether it's military, former military, or current military, or in everyday life, I think being a kid of the 70s and the 80s, you just didn't talk about these things. You just held everything inside and you just put your boots on and march on. But I think that's been a disservice to people. And so the reason why I say this is so much fun is just to see people get out of their comfort zones, just to see people that we lined up with. Everybody had their own reason to be there. But also doing it twice, I did things differently where I spent a lot of time in the middle of the night. I'd start at 2:30 and I would do those stretches like Pea Island. I ran back through Pea Island in the pitch dark, and it was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
The wind was blowing, the rain was coming down, and there was this hue to the sky, and the dunes looked like snow. They looked like mounds of snow. It was such a different experience. And then on the way down, another example, on the way down to the lighthouse, I did the same thing where I started at 2 o'clock. And you know that stretch, once you get past Rodanthe and stuff, there's really not much to look at. People will say, count the telephone poles. I just can't do that kind of stuff, mental games. But when it's dark, everything is different. And you hear the ocean on each side as you're going down. It was just incredible. You'd be surprised how much faster you can go when you're just not focused on, oh my gosh, there's another telephone pole. Everything looks the same. You can't even live. You get in the zone.
Yeah, turn the headlamp off, step off onto the grass, and just look up at the sky and the immensity of the stars. That's my favorite thing.
Yes, sir. That's wonderful. So to me, this year, when I finished, Joshua asked, you know, well, how do you compare this to the time before you did? I said, I had much more fun. He gave me a look like, are you kidding me? Just because you do an event twice doesn't mean you'll have the same experience, the same encounter. Encountering people at a gas station saying, hey, I drove to work today and I saw you out there, and now I still see you out here. I'm on my way home. What are you doing? Yep. And then you would tell them about this event, and everybody without fail, well, how can I help? What can I do? What's the website? Hey, let me buy your Gatorade. Are you sure that's all you want? I mean, it's just, when you see humanity at its finest, it just kind of warms your heart.
Yes. Yes. And you do during this thing. I just remember I was with Richard Gleave, and we were heading up through Duck, and we hit a bunch of the road construction, and the crews were out there. And so Richard was a little bit in front of me because I had stopped to use the restroom a little bit back. And so I was catching up to him, and this one guy started walking with me. He's like, man, what are you guys doing? And so I'm explaining to him, you know, what awareness and action is and all this stuff. And he pulls his phone out right there and hit the donation button. He was like, I'm a vet. And he's like, I've lost too many of my brothers. It was just the coolest thing. He had tears in his eyes when I went off, and, you know, big hug on the side of the road. People thought we were freaks, I'm sure, but it was so cool. But that happened a ton this time. Like I went through Pea Island during the day on the way down, and I stopped in, and I was just going to go use the restroom and, you know, refill my water bladder from the sink. And, you know, the woman said, hey, come in, out of the wind and, you know, put your feet up inside and everything. I went in, she filled my water bladder up. She was so excited about the people who were going through and what, you know, the cause was and everything. That made this year's version so much more fun because the people were so much more engaged. It was awesome.
I agree. And just being able to share the information and share the details, as you know, is more important than starting and finish, because the whole point of it is to raise awareness. And our job is to get from point A to point B, but it's also to share the story.
So what else is on your schedule for this year, Stephen?
So I have what I call a project. So
Okay.
there's races and there's a thing called Project. Are you familiar with citystrides.com? Have you ever
I
heard of that?
am. I am, yeah.
So City Strides, just to put some background, is it takes your information, whether you load it from Strava or different things, takes your information and it puts it essentially on a map. So for example, the city of Charlotte, North Carolina. Do you want to venture a guess as to how many roads there are?
Oh
Throw
man,
out a
if I was
number.
gonna guess, I would say 1800.
1,800. You've got to go a lot significantly higher than that.
No way.
Yes,
Like
sir. So
7500 or
in Charlotte, North Carolina, there, I want to give you the exact. It's over, well, I'll tell you this. I'm at 1,032 of 12,475 streets,
are you
or
serious?
in mileage alone, the city of Charlotte has 3,467.85 miles. If
Oh
you ran
my.
every single road without overlapping anything, it's going to take over 3,400 miles to run all the roads in Charlotte.
I'm in shock right now. I would have never guessed that much.
And it's interesting when you pull it up because it shows you a map of everywhere you've been. So the runs that in Berlin, or the runs when you go on vacation, or you go to Myrtle Beach on vacation and you go a couple times a year, you can say, oh, here's where I ran last time. Let's run over here. So
Okay.
I would encourage you to check it out. If nothing else, it's kind of fun. It's free. I think if you give them like $5 a month, it's not an app, it's a website.
Okay.
There's more functionality, but it's really cool to see Swami on the map to say you ran from here to here and back. When you
Right.
look at that on the right of the map of North Carolina, you realize how far you ran. So you should check that out. But that's what I call my project. So I'm trying to run a certain amount of streets in Charlotte per week. I'm currently in, just to tell you this, I'm only in seventh place. There's some folks that are 50% done, which to me is
Really?
insane. It's been a
Wow.
long time for that. But that's what I call my project. So it's running every city street in Charlotte, North Carolina. The other events that I have this year are I like to go up every year to do the Badger 100.
Okay.
I have a lot of friends that come from all over the world and they go there. I've got a couple of marathons this year because we are our big push next year is to run Comrades. Are you familiar with
Oh
Comrades?
yeah. Oh my gosh, are you really going to go run, comrades?
That's the plan. So Comrades, it's called a Comrades Marathon. It's not a marathon. It's about 56 miles and it alternates each year. It's an up year or it's a down year.
Okay.
Next year will be a down year. And what that means is you start out with a lot more running down, but then you finish with a lot of up. I don't know
Oh,
why.
wow.
And to me, I'd rather run it up, but
Yep.
I might. Buddy wants to do it. He wants to run a down year. So the qualifications for it is, unless they've recently changed, is you just have to be able to run a 450 marathon.
Okay.
So it's from a standpoint of an American, they like the tourism dollar. So it's easier for us to get in to Comrades than it would be that somebody that lives in the African continent.
That is
They
different.
do have very, very tight cutoffs. I believe you have to do it within, I can't remember if it's 10 hours, 10 or 11. I don't have the information in front of me, but
Okay.
56 miles is, it's you don't have a lot of time to goof off, that's for
Yeah, I was
sure.
gonna say you gotta focus, yeah.
So that's the big thing for 2025, and my wife Sheila and I will do good vacation out of that, like we
That's
did.
awesome. Cool. That sounds like you've got some great projects, and Comrades would be a blast.
That is my all-time dream race. A lot of people will say Western states. To me, when you look at it from an international standpoint, and you look at the oldest ultra in the world, that's what speaks to me. I'd much rather do that than Western states. And some people, Boston Marathon is their pinnacle. Comrades to me is the ultra pinnacle.
That's awesome. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm weird. I want to run the Iditarod Trail.
Now you're talking. Now, Comrades is in June, which is their winter. So think
Okay.
70. So
Oh, that'll be awesome.
when you think Africa, you're thinking, oh, it's gonna be warm. But think like 70s, low 70s.
Well, let's bring this thing to a close. So, as you know, the name of the podcast is Living an Ultra Life. What does that mean to you when you hear that?
Living an ultra life, what that means to me is no matter what happens, there's going to be trials, there are going to be tribulations, there are going to be struggles. But what it means is that you have to just roll with it. You have to do a better job of, okay, here's my here and now. This is what it is today, but that doesn't define me. That does not mean it's going to be my tomorrow. But what can I do? What steps can I do to improve? What steps can I do to get from point A to point B? But the biggest thing is, what steps can I do to be a blessing to other people? Because we're put on this earth to be blessings to other people. We weren't put on this earth to be focused solely on ourselves.
Amen. Totally agree with that, Stephen. Man, thank you so much for joining us. This has been an absolute blast. It was fun getting to know you a little bit more, Dhurnswamy, and I look forward to crossing paths with you again.
Absolutely. I know for sure I'll see you at Cape Fear.
Absolutely. We'll do a couple laps together.
All right. Well, you have a blessed night. Thanks,
You too.
Mike.
Thank you, Stephen. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.